please be warned, there's a real good chance this episode contains more than the odd swear word. If that's not for you, best turn off now.
Moving everywhere, man. Weaving everywhere, man. See every foot and square, man. This is the Glasgow Fair, man.
Here we go, lads. What a night on Monday. Such an epic performance that has warranted an emergency unplanned podcast to commemorate the experience. A night where Scotland grew up and boys became men, as for once the Tartan Army witnessed their team stand up to the intense pressure and produce a world-class performance to overcome the odds and get seeded for the World Cup playoffs. Here, finally, hangover free and with voices back, are the regular crew of John McClay. How are we doing, John?
Good, I am glad we decided against the 2 in the morning pod on Tuesday.
Probably for the best. And back from his role in the field in time for the Hampden Heroics is Colin Brook. Have you recovered, my man?
I'm just about there, aye. Voice a bit croaky, but aye, happy to be here again.
Okay, well, let's delve in. Here we go after the obligatory montage.
Smile. I always get criticised for not smiling, eh? But if you can't smile after a performance like that from your players, then there'd be something wrong with me. So, nah, delighted. Everything came together, was a good performance. Played good football, always on the front foot, tried to win the game. So, a really good night for us.
I know speaking to you in the last couple of weeks, you've been so...
Well, boys, I never get tired of listening to that. What a performance. I tell you, Fit Coisty fucking loves it, doesn't he?
Oh, I'm glad they didn't ditch him for the second game of the week. It just makes it much better to listen to. I thought I was much happier being in the stadium. Like,
oh, aye, brilliant. What an atmosphere at Hampden. Another full house. It's so good to see, Brookie.
That was just... amazing. So you're playing that clip there. I must have watched that Che Adams goal about 100 times. See, just when he's the ball hits the net and the crowd, the eruption of noise, makes all the hairs stand up in the back of your neck and your arms. That is just amazing. Great memories.
It's amazing. I mean, having watched it back, it's even better. But even on the night, I turned around and said, the shape was behind me, I said, I think this could be the best performance I've seen live for Scotland, and I think Bavar maybe uttered that at some point over the last couple of days, but it was at first half especially, it was almost like watching Brazil.
Yeah, it was
maybe it the blue Brazil. It's like, I mean, I've been watching Scotland live home and away for 31 years on and off, and I can't remind many better.
No, I think it's definitely up there as one of the best Hampden experiences. But I think it kind of has felt like we've been waiting to like play good against a decent team.
Aye, I think we've said it a couple of times. We're not far away against some team of doing. And although it was 2-0 for a long spell, it was a doing.
First half in particular, I think it was pretty close over the first 20 minutes, and then we just came into our aim, and the goal was coming. It was corner after corner.
We must have been 13 in the first half alone.
Well, I watched back when I got here.
9 or 10, wasn't
I? I watched the highlights, and it was like after half an hour, that's the 8th Scotland corner. I was like, holy hell.
It was great. We were right behind the goals and that. It looked like they were trying to score directly for the corner. Like, they mustn't have fancied Schmeichel for corners.
Brilliant. Aye, brilliant corners. Every one, John McGinn, well, he'd one crapping, but everything was right in the top there. And it felt just like it was a matter of time. It's like a crowd were just willing the bat into the goal.
We'll try to suck it in for that goal.
But the pressing was relentless. The passing was brave. Just that first half was just an amazing attack.
And we've said it just, time and time again on here, I think that if we didn't show too much respect to teams like Denmark and press them to fuck, we play well, we play at our best. And we've given teams far too much respect in the past. And that Monday night was superb.
I think some of the football we played, especially in the first half, was kind of, it just wasn't like watching Scotland.
Composed on the bar, brave on the bar.
Yeah. About that, Ian, they were attacking, it was about 32 minutes. 33 minutes, mm-hmm. and it looked good at the time, but I've seen it on TV, they were in about the edge of our box, and we get a tackle and win the ball. I think it's Christie works really hard to get a ball, and then we just nip it about one touch passing. There's about 6 or 7 passes back to Christie, and then the long punt to Robertson, who nips it inside to Che Adams, and you're thinking, holy shit, this should is going to be the best goal we've ever scored if he just slips it back to Robbo.
I saw a comment from somebody saying that would have been the best team goal Scotland's ever scored. if he'd slipped it back. But Adams has probably seen some of Robertson's previous 20 attempts on goal for you and thought, nah, I'll go myself. But no, I mean, some of the football was phenomenal. It was great. Great to see.
We'll obviously go into like individuals, but I think every player on the pitch put in an absolute shift, and the commitment is just kind of...
Even the lads that came on off the bench.
Fit Clark's gotten out of the squad compared to kind of previous managers.
That's night and day. Team under McLeish would have conceded a goal 2 minutes later under Strachan, and conceded a goal before the first half was out and would have lost 4-1.
There was actually, we started pretty well, and then they went forward and had a pretty good chance, and it just felt at that point, it was like, that would normally be a goal.
That was actually offside, but Gordon had a phenomenal save for a header, and that was their only chance in the box, and it was offside in the end.
That was one about 84 minutes, it was still 1-0, and the boys got a left foot at your end, where we were attacking in the first half, in 84 minutes, and he swings to hit it on his left, and he just misses a bar.
That's right, should have been a goal.
That was their only shot on target.
Is it?
I think so.
I would say, Gordon, for me, although he never had many great saves, great game, commanding, he hasn't been in the past, he commanded his area, he came and took crosses, his handling was good. His kicking's never been good, never will be, but other than that, rolling back years.
8 years ago, I seen somebody posted, someone on, I think it was Twitter, hard to believe, 8 years ago, his only job in FITBA was he was helping out coaching at Dumbarton.
He was on Sportscene at the time.
Amazing.
Great commitment and desire to get back to that level, and could now play in a World Cup and a Euro. Well, he didn't play in the Euros, so.
Well, if only he deserves to get a chance in a tournament, it's probably him. Scotland 15 years or so.
The only other thing you'd say would have been McFadden. It's a pity he wasn't born a wee
McFadden
bit later.
Fletcher, I think. Of them, maybe I feel aggrieved. But
did anybody else think? I can't remember how fun it was. But was that about on a half hour, maybe just before? Fan we'd been playing brilliantly and we had a great chance in Adams and Schmeichel stuck a leg out and made a good save. Did anybody else just think, it's going to be one of that nights?
He should have scored there.
He should have lifted it. If he lifted it, it's in.
just burst the net. We actually tried to pop it in the corner. But that's the only thing, bad thing you hear me say about Trey.
Well, we'll get on to him in a minute. But it's just we're saying possibly Scotland's best ever team performance for Abdi produced that we've seen. Certainly, we kind of speak about games we've never been at. But the other side of the coin, I've heard a few, mostly for English folk. Oh, it was Denmark's second team. They'd already qualified. They didn't care, etc., etc. Does it take any of the shine off? Nay for me.
No, it doesn't. But I think, in particular, going forward, they were missing a lot of players, and it probably did tell. They didn't create enough, a lot. But they had their full defence and keeper, and I thought we broke them doing really well at times, and by far had the better chances in the game. So, I think if they had their full starting 11, things might have been slightly different. If it had been they had to win a game to go through, who knows? But hey, you can only play if it's in front of you.
Brookie, I think even the best teams in the world would have found that performance of Scotland hard to deal with, I think.
Absolutely. We didn't let them breathe. They, when they got the ball, we got it back off them pretty quickly. We were, like you say, brave with the passing, and we were really sort of on the front foot, and they struggled. But I mean, they may be missed their front three that played, say, against England in the Euros, but they're a top 10 team in the world, top
number
10 ranked team in the world. So there's no mugs playing for them. They're full of top quality players, and we were dealing with some absolute giants in there. And I've seen boys like
it was a weird, a few little ends. I was worried defending corners, like
but Cooper and Suter, the amount of times you've seen them strain their neck, and they were beating like boy Vestergaard.
He's a giant.
He's a bit fizzy.
Adams was getting joy in the air off him, and
he was
putting his body into good positions and getting the ball. Like
boy Kier struggled with the air.
He struggled.
I you mentioned Cooper there. I think that was Cooper's best game in a Scotland shirt by far. Thought he was tremendous in the centre of the three.
I think he played well in both Moldova and Denmark. And it was just a solid team performance. My one criticism of Cooper would have probably been, whenever he gets a bye, he's very left-sided. And he was getting it for Tierney a lot. He pretty much just
give
passed
him it
right back because he couldn't open up his body.
It's not a bad boy to be getting a bar back.
Well, if it's him or O'Donnell.
Well, exactly. Suter and looks like a proper defender, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. And obviously, he's just well spoken about. But
obviously, he said his troubles. It was a great moment for him. Great to be involved. Brilliant. Great to score a goal. But
a great header, actually.
Let's hope he can kick on, stay injury free, because he was obviously being bigged up a few years ago. And it's already big teams looking at him in the Championship. I think some of the top teams in the Championship are sniffing about him already, apparently.
Yeah, but you know, stay at heart
and play.
And play, and then maybe you'll get a better move, you know. I don't know, but we certainly have had a long period without any real great defenders, so it's very welcome of another top defender. Yep. So he was unbelievable. We're speaking about the goal and stuff like that, but his defending was
tremendous.
Nonsense.
Proper defending.
Header. Yep.
There was really one good moment early on when I thought he got easily kind of dribbled past by. It was quite early in the game, and boy just left him for dead. But other than that, he was calm, although in his interview after the game, you could tell it meant a world.
It meant a lot to him,
It did, Yep.
And is that his brother that plays for Australia? He was, a bit of tongue-in-cheek dedication of the goal to his brother, I think.
He just done his ACL, the boy.
Oh, did he?
Aye.
What's his fit he had done?
Aye.
Oh, okay. I never came up.
Did his cruciate
nightmare. Nightmare.
Well, that was the last Australia game. They had two boys born in Aberdeen playing for him. The boy Boyle and the boy Suter. Two boys from Aberdeen playing for
him. The header, you were saying it was a great header. It was. He kind of nod it through two guys on the line.
He placed it in.
He placed it in between them.
It was decent, mate.
Wasn't it just a batter at a goal job?
We were working on that, and they said that you could tell. I mean, we had a plan, just back post, right in on the keeper. We were
some plod that's got to go to strong hand, Austin McPhee.
Strong hands pulled out of the bag. But I mean, when you get like 22 corners in the first half hour or whatever,
one's got to go in.
You can get a chance.
Schmeichel was getting pretty pissed off with other corners, wasn't he? He lost a rag, and then he was getting booed the rest of the night. Well, I think we need to go on to Che Adams then, because the last two games have shown, for me, I think he needs to lead the line in the playoff digs. I think he's far better leading the line.
He's definitely performed better, eye up there on his own, for sure. Like, I think
Fushie will be creaming his pants for me saying that, because he hates Dykes.
I think Dykes he's nae easy on the eye. Like, Dykes,
there's a role for him though.
Well, that's what I was kind of coming on to, that it's the squad now. Even a month ago would have probably been saying can't really see Dykes nae in the 11, so this team just seems to. Ken Suter's a prime example. Favre Clark's pulling into the team just now seems to do a job for
them. They're well drilled, obviously. The game that they've got to do, and he's got them playing for the jersey, which has been lacking for a while. People loving playing for Scotland, loving turning up.
But I think for Adams Jesus, that Ken, like you said, he did get a wee bit of joy in the air, which is obviously Dykes' bigger strength than Adams. Aye. But he's okay in the air, and he's got decent pace, and he can had a buy-in and
great composure for a goal.
Aye. Although my one complaint is still he's he probably could have had a hat trick, I think. Like,
possibly.
Definitely two. Mm-hmm. I think he probably could have had three.
The way he putting his body just into places to keep things alive. Aye. The amount of times he took a ball in his chest, there was one in the second half, I got absolutely, it came in like a missile for about 8 yards. And he just took it on his chest.
On the beef chest.
We retained the ball. Somebody opened the body up and shifted it across the park, and we were on the attack. Again, it was such a team performance. He gave so much for the team. And I could safely say, I cannot remember, but certainly for Scotland, there ever been a more deserving goal. Ken,
what a goal. And composure in front of hit the back of the net, what a moment. Because that was it. We can't then, that was it. They were not coming back for 2-0.
No, definitely. And I think Fitty just, from our playing against better teams, you've got to take your chances. So you need somebody that.
It's great times to score. And there's never a bad time to score a goal. But again, right before half time and 5 minutes to go, just kills it.
I had just turned round to Ham just after probably the 9th corner or something and said, this is typical Scotland, from we'll go and lose a goal.
Probably.
And then the next corner came in and we scored. And it was like, fit the fuck do you can.
What a bouncing half. What a bouncing Hamden as well, Brookie. You were obviously in a different stand for us for the night, but it was rocking. It was like when the West Ham were you.
It was unbelievable. Well, when the second goal went in, I had a boy actually land next to me. A boy, he had no top on or anything. And when I say land, I mean he did not touch the seat or anything. It was just a thud, and this boy was like on a deck. It was bedlam. It was.
Was Dave fantastic. Even smiling?
Dave was even smiling. Dave was,
Did you say a fair night out in Glasgow?
We did, aye. It was really good. Hats off to the boy that started it with the giggles on the train, though. I have to tell you this. I was come down the train and the toilets are minging now. I was like, I need to get a toilet in the train. And then got to about Stirling. We did a few beers. I was like, I can't hold it in any longer. I've got to go. So it's absolutely packed on the train, heaving. And you cannot bet where the toilet is. Can it's that like sort of curved door? And it was just heaving with loads of folks standing there. And there's this boy, a former, I'll go in. I only go. He went in, door closed, and about 20 seconds later, the door opened.
Oh, no.
And I locked it. And he was sitting in a tom kite in the bog. The first thing he tried to do was he tried to hud onto the door, but it dragged him off the bog. He couldn't stop the thing moving. And he stood up. And there must have been about 15 folk it could see in. His kecks were around his ankles, and it was, oh my God, it was like a...
Yeah, shite hanging.
It was like swingy ball city. It really was.
Can you confirm or deny, was there a poop swinging?
There was a... There was definitely some things kicking about.
That's fucking horrible. Was he wearing
there,
a kilt?
There was like a couple of kilt on? 16-year-old coins, and they were one of them actually screamed a bit. They must have just been mortified. And there was some Scotland fans are like, "Whoa!"
It's a couple, oh, it's a couple of years of therapy needed for that.
But the most uncomfortable bit was when he got to the buttons and then hit close, and it just took an age for that door to close.
Like,
it was
like blind date. The worst blind date ever.
Oh my god. That got a day off to a good
a flying a start and, a swinging start
that went for there. Like, it was so, that was another Hamet quarter to four job, so I'm still struggling here, to be honest with you.
How was Moldova? Obviously we sent you with your tickets because we couldn't go, so how was the trip out there, in the place I've never been yet?
Well, I can safely say unless Scotland play there again, you probably shouldn't have bothered. It's near a city break.
Was Feather and James Milne, were they behaving themselves?
They were.
Sure.
It was just a fantastic couple of days. We are, four of us just never stopped laughing.
Bonded, did you?
It was absolutely brilliant.
Get our Feather back.
I know, it was fine. Yeah, he's already got Qatar booked up, and he's even looking at Germany. We're not getting a big hoose out of Berndergan, which was, he was ready to book it, unnamed person in our group had a wee Del Boy moment with us going home late at night on the first night, and the lift door opened really quickly, and this unnamed person was leaning against it, fell back, and our cheer and smashed our sporran a bit.
I did wonder why Dad's sporran only had two tassels left.
Hey, I didn't name nobody.
I think we've kind of covered Adams there, and what a performance, best in a Scots shirt for sure. Absolutely. John McGinn is the other name for me. He was just different gravy, like that big arse.
The arse is phenomenal. Like,
so I see somebody said it must be insured for $1 million at least for Villa. Like,
yeah, there's just no getting ruin it. If he decides he's sticking into it,
you've got no hope.
He's pinned you, like, but
it's not just that though. He's a great player.
All action, covered mace blades of grass if nae the ma.
And it means a lot to him. You can tell, and I like that.
He's bombing about, and I like the fact he seems to be vice captain for the.
He got the armband when Robbo went off.
That's right.
And just I actually think, quality wise, he just looks like he's improving and improving. He's getting better still.
I think we could see him move to a bigger club in England now.
There's I've been talking Man United for him.
But no, I wouldn't be disappointed. The midfield that they've got, I knew.
But I think in the past I probably thought he could have played in the two. Further forward for Scotland's the wire he'd for him.
Lately. That formation definitely gave us joy, didn't it? It was a slight tweak, but I think we Adams leading the line, it works.
Aye, the square.
Mm-hmm. The Clark square. Clark ball.
But the three in there, I think, have just been fantastic the last couple of games. And we've been speaking about the fact that before we kind of were thinking McTominay would be if we had our first choice midfield. But see, for me, I kind of change any of the three of them, McGregor, Gilmore and McGinn. They're just unbelievable. I'd love to see, I couldn't find the stats I was looking, I'd love to see how much ground the three of them covered.
I think Gilmore playing seems to bring out the best in McGregor. I think they work well together. And again, I usually leave McGregor out of my starting team, but he's certainly playing his way into it. And again, Colin McRae, he's banging the McGregor drum because he probably does go under the radar a bit. And he isn't a high producer in a Scotland shirt, let's be honest with that. But that's last two games. It's that third midfield spot is his to lose now.
I think it's more than two games though, Nagin.
Well,
in Serbia,
he had the game of his life.
I still think... Yeah. McTominay will play games. For me, there's only really a couple of positions now for, I think, we are never quite sure if Faz get to play there, and it's the Faz playing AFO, the striker.
Right centre-back.
And right centre-back, aye. Because I think McTominay can play her, Hendry can play her, Suter's came in and had a good game.
Aye. Let's touch on that. Obviously, we'll speak about, we've got a bit of strength and depth, but there was no mention of Hanley and Hendry.
Henry was injured. At
the Did he? Okay. But there's no mention of Hanley. We thought he'd come straight back in, and he wasn't on the bench either, was he?
No.
Didn't I see him withdraw for the squad? Did you, Ricky?
No, that has to be injury.
Must be. I was never any news about it. Like,
was he even called up?
He was in the squad, wasn't he?
Well, he was there.
Maybe he wasn't.
Was suspended.
Ah, he was suspended for the first game.
Did he had an injury?
He maybe got a tweak, did he?
Yeah.
Would hate to look back at it anyway. It was a bit of a shock, but hey, the boys did well. And as we're saying, we've got a bit of strength and depth with four supposed first team players missing. You were saying, Brookie, and
No, so who was saying? We're saying Hanley, Henry,
McTominay, Dykes.
Dykes. So possibly. You would have said before the doubleheader that they four would have been in our starting team.
Patterson
for a second team. So you're thinking against Denmark. So maybe that's they were missing a few players, but so were we. But what a nice problem to have for Clark. He's maybe got a pool now of about 15 players.
Well,
maybe
I would
more.
Say, I mean, without Hanley and Henry being named on the bench and Dykes, I looked at a bench and thought, there's options there in every position we can do something. Mm-hmm. Nay, them, because there was Dykes and Nisbet and the boy Brown when that came much a boot, but there was options in most positions to change and nay be shitting ourselves. Even if McKenna came on, he did fine.
Yep, absolutely. But this is good. It's like we're on a bit of a journey here. We're on a bit of a path, and things just keep getting better. We get more players. They get in minutes. Clark trusts them. They're doing a job. It's a great place to be, isn't it? It's a big pool of players that you can trust. It's not just like we've got 11. We're actually a really good squad of boys here. Brilliant.
The little magician Gilmore was just he's just phenomenal, is he?
He's absolutely brilliant. Like he looks like he should be playing for Spain or something. Like his vision is just.
But he's marking it tick. He's being brave in the bar, and the Ellerines are following. And he's getting the best.
He actually
McGregor.
Went forward a bit. Mm-hmm. Mayor, I thought in the last game as well. He wasn't afeard to go forward.
Bit of freedom.
The thing for me is it's an absolute steer that he's not playing for Norwich. Hopefully Dean Smith, I see he got a job.
He did, aye.
He's got to have seen that games and thought, fits the boy Fark up to like.
Aye,
granted, I can a relegation scrap. You're wanting boys that are going to dig you to it. And has he got the profile that you think he's going to dig you to it? Maybe nay, but going by his performances in a Scotland shirt, you kind of see how even Chelsea are looking and thinking.
You'd think.
Can he come into our team?
And we're no world beaters either, most of the time, and he's standing out for Scotland, so why not Norwich?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if you compare to Kenny McLean started every game under a boy Farker.
Grant Smith was telling me that Norwich have signed some German boy that's similar to Gilmore that plays in his position on loan. He's been playing, and Fark's obviously German, is he? Or he looks like he should be.
He can Fark off.
Just had a look. Hanley is out for 2 to 3 weeks with a groin issue, so he was injured. Yeah,
Robertson's going to miss a few Liverpool games in Asia, I think.
It looked like a hammy, did it? But no, actually,
at least we ain't got a game till the end of March.
Yeah, we're dropping like flies at the end.
I tell you, if it else was good, nay bookings.
Yeah, it was just
nay one booking.
Kim, I've said it's possibly the best game we've ever seen Scotland play, but it was the most disciplined. Professional kind of performance.
Even better, which is very un-Scotland. Like, we basically got every controversial decision for the ref, I would say. The Spanish ref. Somebody saying that Spanish ref had, in his last two La Liga games, he'd booked 18 players. So, not bad.
Only one Danish boy got booked in that.
Schmeichel.
I thought ref did well.
He ref had a good game.
Comes for Clark, because Clark said before it, he was asked a question and he said these are top professionals, they get in these situations all the time where one booking could drill them out of a tournament or something, and more often than not they don't manage to get it. So he's relayed that to the players and he's made his expectations clear.
I'm assuming now that bookings will be wiped before the final, so if anybody gets booked in the semi.
Did they?
I thought, well, usually New Year's Day's finals, they're wiped for now.
That's what Clark was saying, is it? He was saying it was unfair.
Because usually for finals, New Year after Scholes and Keane missed the 99, I think they changed the rule, didn't they?
That definitely.
The only red cards you miss a final, new. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, dig into that in a forward playoff pod. Steve Clark he had something nice to say after the game. We'll hear it here.
The normal process of a team that's growing together, qualifying for the first tournament in 23 years was massive. That togetherness for almost 4 weeks together helped us to build and grow. I think post Euros, you see that improvement. You see this squad of players gaining more and more confidence. 6 wins in a row at this level is no mean feat.
Right, enough what you're saying there, do you think? One of yours?
Aye, no, I think we never touched on the 6 games winning in a row.
That's it.
That's the first since the 30s or something.
34, like I think you said, Brookie, was it? To me, before we came on.
30s, something.
34
like
or 38. And
every big game has been competitive. It's not like it's a couple of shitty friendlies chucked in.
That's what it sounds. The first time Scotland have ever won 8 games in a calendar year. Is it? Aye. Decent.
Must be one of the first times we've ever gone through a calendar year unbeaten.
Did we not get beat by Denmark this year, no?
If I beat Croatia and Czech
Republic.
I bet it's you.
I must have been some. Yeah, Kenner's a time difference in
Moldova. Is it?
Kenner's a time difference in Moldova, but.
If we won a World Cup.
COVID's been a tough time. It was Euro 2020, so it doesn't count this year.
Stevie Clark, it looked like a master plan, both these games. And, you know, should we get the plans drawn up for the statue now? Or I think he's right. Like Scotland, in a head, a month together for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that probably has built a bit of togetherness. And when I'm interviewing boys for the pod, most of them say, you know, we were in teams. The teams that were the best were the teams that socialised together, drank together, did stuff together. That month together, Clark's spot on, I would say. It has helped.
Definitely. Yeah, and just what we said earlier, every player that comes into that squad seems to buy into whatever Clark's saying. And I've always been quite content with Clark. Again, there's been kind of folk nae sure, especially early on. And I think Abdi's probably thought that a lot of the football that we watched, especially early on, was pretty poor and grindy kind of games. We were picking up results, but it was almost like this could change and we could get beat at any time. But the last two games, the football that we've played has been the most entertaining football I can mind watching for Scotland for a long, long time.
Even while we're qualifying under Craig Brown, it wasn't a stunning stuff. It was long ball and it was kind of five at the back a lot of times.
Yeah. As he said, the turning point was Russia away 4-0. He spoke about that being the low point and that they were going to start to build for there. But I seen a thing come up in my memories day. 2 years ago, we were swapping Lauren Shankland out for Eamon Brophy in. All due respect to both players, you know, good professionals and stuff, but I don't think we're going to say certainly Eamon Brophy is probably not going to be a regular international player. And I don't think Shankland sort of set it on fire. I think he's sort of dropped out and I kind of see him getting back in, to be honest. Yeah. So there's a whole list of players that, you know, Clark was playing and looking at that point, and maybe just before Clark came in, that have dropped out. With the squad's been transformed, he's got a nucleus of a squad.
I'm saying it's good to hear that nucleus for the togetherness, and Ken, it's good to look at a squad and say it's not changed much. But if he is bedding in new players, it's one or two at a time.
And I don't think he's not scared to change it. Can he? No. He'll give other boys a game. He'll tick boys in, because to be honest, when I seen Suter starting, I probably had a wee
eyebrow was raised a bit.
How that's going to go? I really liked his comments. He didn't directly say Fraser a bit of a cock, but
he is,
and it came out as Ken. I think that was the message he was saying. I've got boys in this squad that want to be in this squad, and
I was somebody on Twitter said they got a fair chuckle at our description of Ryan Fraser in the last pod. Like John just said, he's a dick.
But I think now we've got the players that are capable of playing in that formation and style and playing good football. We've also got the players that can dig in and defend and play the long ball if we've got Dykes and defend that way. And I think we've got plan A and B now, Brookie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we've shown that we've used both to great effect, to be honest with you. But it all comes from that solid defence. I've not got the stats about how many goals we've conceded, but we don't really concede that many goals these days, certainly compared to what we did. And with Clark's teams, that's always been what he's sort of built it on. Comes in, makes them solid. I mean, there's that stat I sent you, so shamelessly stolen from Craig Anderson on Twitter, but he's both, if you look at his stats for what, Killy and Scotland, he's played 110 games as manager and he's won 57 of them. That's a 52% win rate. And when he inherited Killy, they were, what, bottom of the league or second bottom or something? Mm-hmm. He took them to third, and that was built on a solid, so tight.
I seen further back than that, Brookie, that he took West Brom to their highest ever Premier League position, which I think was eighth, and signed Lukaku. And then he took Reading to an FA Cup semi for the narrowly got beat by Arsenal.
Then
obviously he did that with Killy, and he's took Scotland to their first major tournament. So it's not a bad CV, to be fair to him.
Definitely deserves respect for us, that's for sure.
There surely can't be MD still in the Scotland fan base that are serious if they're going to go at any of the players or the manager.
I think our biggest worry now is that he's going to get offers. And he is, you said he has had comments where he says he's bored in between games.
That scares me a little bit. He's said in a few interviews, I get bored in between the long periods, or I'm a bored football manager who can't go to work. And that does scare me a little bit. But
it's okay, because I've got Moyes teed up for next manager anyway. I'm in the Moyes fan club.
We'll probably be in that thing like when Fergie left Man United. Is who the hell's going to follow Stevie Clark?
Hey, I think if Clark can somehow get us to a World Cup, I think that we'd have to go down as one of the biggest achievements of only Scotland team and only Scotland manager. Because
for sure,
given the state we were in when he tenured, it's like you would never have thought we would have made a Euros, but even more so, you would have never imagined being a game or two away from a World Cup.
It's amazing, and I'm just thinking, I knew how optimistic we're at being. Then 3 games ago, we could have easily got thrashed by Faroes.
Can we 3-0 do not happen?
So, I've got a couple of listeners' questions here, boys. If you want to answer them, are we up for that?
Nah, go for it.
I'll have to find them first. I don't. The first Ian is for Nermal. Chris Newton has been on, and he said, a wee question for the pod guests. Now that grassroots football is properly coordinated and connected, who from the lads they played with could and should have made it? There's always been plenty of talented lads kicking about our way. Were the likes of McGinn or McFadden that much better at 8, 10 or 12 than some of the boys you played with?
It's a hard one. I think the heart would like to think that there was many players that were like close to that, but I think in reality the level that players get to is phenomenal, like,
different level.
I guess there was boys that got close, Stevie Watt, Stuart Anderson, boys like that. I think
Dougal's
had a bit of chance.
You think
back
that
a wee bit Dougal?
It was too late before they were in.
I think a lot of it involved is about the attitude of this local area, and I think it's easy to be overlooked, but also
you need a bit of luck. Yeah, something you do there. I mean, we could list off a heap of boys, Matty Kinghorn, other boys.
That's a name I gave back to Nermal. I said, for how many years would you say Kinghorn? And he said, him and Simon Kidd. He thought
there's so many good players. But you need a bit of luck, I guess, for some of them to and even when you get to that level where, like, say, your Stuart Andersons and Stevie Watt and Dougal Knight got to where they did actually play sort of like a good level, senior level football, in Stevie's case, you know, almost at the top, a couple of appearances and that, played for his under-21s for his country. But you still, he didn't, then the injuries and stuff like that, you need a bit of luck to be able to kick on, and you need to get bedded in and you better asking boys like Stuart Nielsen and boys at Kenwood they're talking about. But
I was actually, funnily enough, speaking to Stuart Nielsen last week. It was at a game that he was watching and scouting at or something, and it was like the school's football, so it was like the select school's football. And Curtis, the loon that bides with us, he was playing, and Stuart was saying we can't afford to miss only player, so we'll take our chance. We like anybody, and he said Scott McKenna got through. Like, that's how he got his break, was through like the school's.
Somebody I interviewed played in it with him. I think it was maybe Matty Cooper.
Could have been. Be a bit that kind of age, but so to be fair, I didn't think the thought McKenna was like the best player going about at that point either. So boys develop.
He slaughtered at Ayr United. Before he broke through to Aberdeen, he was at Ayr United on loan, and the Ayr United fans were nae having him. And he came back and he was running out of contract, and it just took that wee injury, and Aberdeen had to chuck him in, and it just clicked. And just that wee bit of luck. I think given the right conditions, there's probably a lot more for the area we grew up in that probably could have played at a really high level, I think.
Ball for your group.
Absolutely. Alan Stephen, another example of you stop smoking and drinking and having for the age of 14 or whatever it is, then you've got half a chance. But
Gerbil? Gerbs?
Gerbil's an unbelievable football player at a young age.
Am I Nielsen telling me that back at school he was one of the best players that ever played for Bath Academy?
Talent wise, ridiculous. Unbelievable.
Life choices not so great.
No, that was, it's a Scottish thing that, hopefully now that's made a thing of the past and they're getting a bit better educated. And again, I didn't again fit they're being taught, but it doesn't seem it's quite the same as what it was. But
there we go, then. Normal. Yeah. I think we're saying probably nay. a couple of questions for Neil Watt, Nod, for Colin. He makes a good point. Do we need to select another left back for the squad other than Taylor? Obviously, showed on Monday that both Kieran Tiernan and Robbo, when they went off, within the AMD, and Ralston had to go on, who is now a lefty.
I suppose I think it is a good point, because if they're both starting a game,
Tierney's basically a centre back now for Scotland.
Aye, but if you're moving him to be the wing back, you're effectively changing two positions in one go. For me, I can criticise him a wee bit. I would have had Hickey in the squad.
That's what he said. It's probably time to get Hickey in. We can probably afford to drop Nisbet or somebody. We'll never get to play with two strikers. So.
I think, Ken, we've got about a million centre midfielders as well. And we've still got Jack to come in and McTominay to come in. I think
if squads go back to 23 for the World Cup, Clark will hey, if we qualify, he'll have a job in his hands.
Yeah, he cut it out a bit. Another left back here, a boy, Barry Douglas, is doing really well out in Poland again. It looks like they're going to win the league.
I think his ship sailed, though, is it?
Is he? He must be about late 20s, probably, right enough. But
if we're basically saying that we're not really wanting Tierney and Robertson to play 90 minutes every game, so really it is for that
cover.
Yeah.
I think we'll keep his other question for the next pod, because he's wondering if the playoff was in Warren, who'd our 26 be in the squad and who'd start. So I think we'll maybe save that for closer to the playoffs, will we?
Yeah.
Okay. The other end is just saying, please get Grant Smith on to eat humble pie. That's not regression under Clark. We're great on the ball, and it's some of the best stuff I've ever seen for Scotland. Unbelievable.
Quite right.
Yeah, right.
Here we go. Okay. How far can we go then, Brookie? What do you think? If it's the ceiling for Scotland now that we're playing all right? We're 42nd in the world before that two games, I think. we must be up a bit.
I think we're definitely definitely in the top 30, have to be. Again, how do you measure it? Is it what we qualify for, where we're in the rankings? I mean, I certainly think we're not really going to get much of a better chance to get to a World Cup, and that's certainly what I hope for. And I didn't think it's beyond us. I really didn't.
Then I look at all that stats, the XGens and the past completions and that shit. The eye test is the main in which they passed, and the other in is success, getting to tournaments. That's how we're looking, that we're progressing.
Yep. If we get to this World Cup and potentially, you know, what comes after that, we're starting to get into the terms of where we've come for the most successful Scotland team we'll ever have seen. And I think
anybody will ever seen if they get out of groups.
Yeah. we have to say that where is a chance here that we could be watching the sort of start with the best Scotland team definitely of our lifetime.
Fingers crossed. Hey, Jonathan, we were Bairns, 23 points in a World Cup qualifying group, second place. That's instant qualification.
No, it's when you look at the games we've won, and can one loss in 10 games is pretty unbelievable for far we've been in recent campaigns. Normally we're out of it and lost the first two games.
That's it. And then a lot of groups in recent history, 23 points probably would have been enough to win it.
Yeah, it certainly would take us qualifying for the Euros. And hey, do we drop points at home at Austria and away to Israel, where now you would fancy as maybe NATO, and that would have hit us level with Denmark. So that was what an unbelievable qualifying campaign for us as third seeds in a group. Amazing.
Yep. So that's what we could ask for. I think if you'd offered us 23 points in second place before the group, I don't think MDS would have turned it down.
I think need to be too pessimistic, but I think realistically, I think we're still going to be struggling to qualify as one of the three out of the 12 teams.
It's a big draw. If we look to that playoff draw, it's a massive ask.
I would have much preferred it to be a kind of two-legged shoot.
But that's it. Only three teams out of the 12 will go through. If I were fancying teams first, so if I can we get in the semis, Sweden? No. Ukraine, Macedonia,
Poland, Czech Republic, Poland, Austria, Turkey. Yeah, Poland. So you want Macedonia in the semis at home, or Austria, one of the two, and then you want Wales to pull the other in, so Wales, Austria in their semi final, and then we'll be at home to the winner of that. That'll do us.
I think we definitely need a home.
Need a home final. So yeah. How's that working? Will the draw be made? And the Volcano Fall beat home for the final for
26th of November.
A week on Friday, Volcano fit we're up against.
Learn our fate.
Could be next pod then, boys, for that.
Aye.
Absolutely.
I think you were wanting to look at a comparison with the 98 squad and see if we're make a combined 11 out of 2.
I think that'd be quite good to look at, just to see how many of the 98 squad would get into that went to World Cup would get into this team. So maybe before we get to the playoffs, that would be a good thing to look at.
The listeners can maybe message the page their suggestions and offer their combined 11 with the 98 qualifying squad and the potential 2022 qualifying squad, and we'll see how we match up. And if you've any other questions, any listeners can feel free to message me as Nodden. Nermal had done, and a couple others which I hadn't read out, but we'll maybe save for another episode. Feel free to do so and interact. And if you want to come on and have 5 minutes like Mike did the other night and get a rip in, then we'll vet you and we'll see if you're worthy. So boys, I haven't really got much else to say. It's been a good night, and optimism is very high.
It's good to end a year thinking positively about Scotland, like that's 2 years on the trot. So
what a Christmas it's going to be. Abdi will be getting Scotland themed presents. And
I noticed the new training range.
New training gear was out 5 minutes after full time.
I thought they might have actually had a new strip for this.
I think we'll get you for the World Cup. Hey, and I think maybe to end, we will need to. I think as a group of boys going to Scotland games a lot have given the SFA a lot of stick over the years, ticket prices, etc. I think ticket prices have been brought down in line to far they should be. Great gesture as well. They've extended the membership till after the World Cup, I believe, to December 2022, free of charge. So thank you, and I think that's a great gesture for all the fans that have stuck through thick and thin and thin.
Yep, and very thin. Yeah, fantastic.
All right, boys, we'll leave it there.
Magic.
Very good. Cheers. We've been everywhere, man. We've been everywhere, man. Seen every fern square, man. But it's the Glasgow Fair, man. We play Ryanair, man. We've been everywhere. We've been in Glasgow, Butterbur, Charles, Opie, and Rio, Torino. That's your lot from Beyond Hampden Park today. We'll probably do one more this year, looking at the playoff draw after it's made, and then that'll be us to the playoffs probably. Thank you to the Tartan Specials for use of their music for the theme tune, as always. We appreciate that. It's bye from me from now, and bye from John.
Cheerio.
And also bye from Broogie.
See you later.
Bye for now.